This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Archer, keeping watch on who is showing up at Mayor Bass's house to see who might be the next LAPD chief. But first, LA County Sheriff's deputies could now lose their jobs if it is proven they're in a so-called deputy gang. Natalie Davidian talked to Sheriff Robert Luna about this new policy, and she joins us live.
The new policy's name is pretty self-explanatory. The title, Prohibition, Law Enforcement Gangs and Hate Groups. Sheriff Robert Luna had said throughout his campaign that this was a priority in order to regain trust. His predecessor, former Sheriff Alex Villanueva, hadn't acknowledged their existence. Here's Sheriff Robert Luna.
Obviously, every deputy or employee will have their due process. But if the investigation, facts and evidence show that they are involved in this type of conduct, they're probably not going to be employed long. They're probably going to be decertified by POST, which is a state-run agency.
And Sheriff Luna, was there a specific incident that led to this policy? Or like you're talking about, there have been investigations into this for quite some time.
Not one incident. The history is very well documented about some of the challenges that we've had regarding this issue in our department, between the Civilian Oversight Commission, the RAM report. And there's so much documentation out there.
And Rob, this is all coming 3 years after the state legislature passed laws which require law enforcement agencies to ban gang membership. Sheriff Luna says that this policy is in line with state laws, and the state laws define law enforcement gangs in part as a group of peace officers who identify by a name or associate with a symbol like matching tattoos and who engage in on-duty behavior like harassment or discrimination.
All right, Natalie, thanks. An L.A. County Sheriff's deputy being accused of sexually assaulting a child. The DA's office announced the charges against Brian Cardoso for assaulting a 13-year-old girl at his home in Cudahy in 2022. DA George Gascon calls the allegations reprehensible and unacceptable and says they involved great violence, great bodily harm, and a high degree of cruelty and viciousness. Didn't go into any more detail than that. Cardoso is out on a $100,000 bond. Next court date is in November. He's facing up to 8 years in prison. It is the big guessing game right now. Who's going to be the next LAPD chief? The LA Times reports that some likely finalists have been spotted at the mayor's mansion yesterday. Deputy Chief Amada Tingarides and Robert Arcos, a former assistant chief, now works in the DA's office. A third possible finalist not spotted at the Getty House yesterday, but Jim McDonald, a former LA County sheriff, also said to be on the Mayor Bass's shortlist. She has said she would conduct a wide search both inside and outside the department, but these three choices are close to home. The mayor has indicated she is very close to making a decision. The owner of a Sun Valley recycling company has been arrested for allegedly buying thousands of pounds of stolen metal from thieves. Emily Valdez has the story.
You've probably heard of copper thefts, thieves ripping the wires out of LA City light poles from the LADWP from Caltrans. Well, it's not worth anything unless there is a shady recycler to buy it. LAPD says they just busted one. Tuxford Recyclers in Sun Valley.
Recycling center owners, metal yard owners, a lot of them have been in business for a long time, so they know the laws.
LAPD Detective Supervisor Carlos Monterosa is with the Commercial Crimes Metal Theft Unit. He says they're doing more compliance checks. That's how they found out about this place.
They're continuing to take in large amounts of copper wire. They're not asking questions.
Police say they found almost 600 pounds of city-owned street lighting wire, a 250-pound bronze plaque stolen from the city of Burbank, and more than 3,000 pounds of copper and aluminum wire stolen from Caltrans. The owner, Peter Zamkochian, is facing a felony charge.
Huntington Beach is suing California over a new state law that keeps school districts from disclosing a student's expressed gender identity to their parents. The city suing Governor Newsom, Attorney General Rabanta, and the California State Superintendent in federal court. It wants a judge to declare that law unconstitutional. America First Legal Foundation, that's a conservative nonprofit that's run by Donald Trump's advisor, Stephen Miller, is paying for the legal expenses. Orange County Supervisor Andrew Doe has sold a house he owned in Westminster, but a representative says he still lives in the district he represents, staying in the house as a tenant. And he is currently facing calls to step down because of investigations into a nonprofit he directed millions in COVID relief funds to. The sale last month recorded a week after the feds raided a house in North Tustin that he also owns. Doe has missed the last couple of board meetings. He was removed from his board and committee assignments by the other supervisors this week. Authorities say a man in Hesperia was intentionally run down and killed over the weekend. Deputies called the scene Saturday morning, found Ricky Kemp on the roadway. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Deputies found an abandoned Chevy Tahoe nearby and the driver inside a business. He was arrested and booked on suspicion of murder. He's being held without bail. Kemp's family set up a GoFundMe page to help with funeral costs. Nonstop News at 5 presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text Lemon to 40333 for a free case review. Well, the mayor of Norwalk defending the city's decision to continue banning new homeless shelters, even after a lot of criticism and some legal threats from Governor Newsom. That is coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues. Back now to our top story. The LA County Sheriff's Department officially changing policy and now banning deputy gangs. The inspector general overseeing the department is Max Huntsman. He joins us now live. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So it's been 3 years since state lawmakers passed a measure calling for police agencies to ban these kind of gangs. Why is it taking so long to get to this official point?
That's a good question, and I don't know the answer. We asked to monitor the process, and the sheriff's department refused. We asked to see drafts as they went along, and we didn't get them. We issued a report earlier this year based on an old draft in which they said they were going to implement a recommendation of the Civilian Oversight Commission that would actually outlaw the secretive groups that that sometimes turn into gangs. And they didn't do that. And at the last minute, just earlier today, we got a copy of this policy that does not do that. It does the bare minimum that they could have done almost 3 years ago. It's quite a disappointment.
What more would you like to see from this policy today? I mean, granted, it's later than you would like, but what more would you like to see in it?
For 50 years, the Sheriff's Department has had secretive groups, and the members of them, it's like the mafia. They're not allowed to identify anybody or testify against anybody, and a code of silence has been enforced at Sheriff's Department at the management level for years, and that's what needs to be addressed. It's not just the ones that actually get into gang-like behavior, as the law prohibits. It's the deeper problem. A number of officials in the Sheriff's Department's management team, both present and formal, have testified about this and or been talked about it openly about having been promoted. Not a one of them has named another person who was in the group with them. While they claim they're all innocent and nice, nobody will tell you who's in these groups. It's a secret. That's the problem. And I had hoped that the Sheriff's Department, after all this time, would have started to address that problem and not simply copy the words that are in the statute.
But do you think this could possibly lead to like a bigger sea change in the department, especially considering the fact that under Sheriff Villanueva, he denied that deputy gangs even existed?
He did, and Luna admits that they exist. But like I say, we haven't seen a change in the conduct. The secrecy still exists. The attacks on oversight continue. The refusal to comply with transparency laws continue. And so I'm not optimistic that there'll be any change in the near future. There's been some press reports by the sheriff of an interest by the Attorney General's office in a civil rights settlement regarding a lot of issues, including gangs. Maybe that'll have an effect. We have some lawsuits currently pending in court to implement the power of the Inspector General's office to conduct direct investigation, which until currently, we're not able to do. That could make a difference. But sitting around and waiting for the Sheriff's Department to decide in agreement with its union that it's actually going to clean house, I don't think that's going to happen.
All right. Inspector General Max Huntsman, who oversees the department, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thank you.
More money to pay for cop overtime in one L.A. district. The city council approved a motion to allocate some $200,000 to support additional police overtime hours across Council District 5. Now, that money is going to go to LAPD's Wilshire and West L.A. divisions, with a smaller amount going to the Pacific Division, which covers a smaller part of the district. Councilmember Katie Yaroslavsky says the funding is critical for bolstering public safety. In addition to more patrols and no camping enforcement around schools and parks, the money money is going to support more LAPD resources to protect religious institutions during the Jewish High Holy Days. LA and San Bernardino counties opening up a couple of local assistance centers this week to help residents impacted by the bridge and the line fires. The center is described as one-stop shops where residents and business owners can get information about services and assistance they can access through local and state agencies, also nonprofit groups. They're going to be able to help with insurance claims, property cleanup procedures, replacing vital records, and rebuilding assistance. The LA Center going to be at the Fairplex 10 to 8 on Friday, and at the San Bernardino Center opening up 10 to 8 Saturday and Monday at Cal State San Bernardino. Well, the city of Norwalk kind of thumbing its nose at Governor Newsom by extending a ban on new homeless shelters. Going to go in depth with the city's mayor coming up. Well, Norwalk has extended a ban on new homeless shelters, and defying Governor Newsom has called the policy immoral. Council members decided last night to extend that moratorium another 10 months. Now, the governor sent a letter to the city warning that it is in violation of state orders and could face legal action. He also doubts the city is doing enough to help homeless people. And that's not sitting well with Norwalk's mayor, Margarita Rios, who tells our John Baird that she sees this as state interference.
The city has actually aggressively been a participant in addressing, you know, the housing insecurity and the homeless in our city. This direction, though, and mandates that the state continue to place on the local level, as myself, a local leader, just does not really address the issues at the local level, because we here in the city understand and know what the population is, including those that are at risk. And we've been doing everything within our power to address that issue, oftentimes, if not all time, without any of the state's support. And so what drove this here was that at the local level, we cannot continue to be at the mercy of what the state determines is best for our city and our unhoused population, especially if we're already addressing it very successfully.
So is this an issue that they're not, in other words, that you're putting out the money, they're not reimbursing you, so basically you have to take care of homeless services and homeless housing that you believe the state should be paying for?
Well, we have definitely been using our general revenue dollars to do all of the work behind addressing the homeless population, including through our social services center, which is very unique to the city of Norwalk. We provide not just services here for families, but we do outreach along with our HOPE team, which is a team that specifically is assigned to do outreach, determine, find housing, determine what the needs are for that individual, and then we put them in the right location. So the city of Norwalk has carried the brunt as far as monetarily, and we're not saying that the state should do it all, but they should do their share and ensure that at the local level, we are getting those dollars.
So do you feel that what you're being told and the things that you're being told to do not work? Okay, so now the governor's made threats. You got that letter. What do you do now? Do you just move forward with your plan? Are you concerned about the state trying to crack down here?
Well, I mean, that I'm very limited as to what I can actually state on that part, because if it is a legal issue, then, you know, that part I don't have no comment on at this point because we don't know.
Okay. So is it a case where you guys finally reached a breaking point and said, this isn't working and we're spending a lot of money? We're not going to do this anymore.
Well, we're going to continue to do what we need to do, because we're not neglecting the fact that we do have individuals in our city that require our help because of homelessness. So we're not going to neglect our responsibility to those individuals. But we are also highlighting the fact that we need to do something differently, or we need to have more help from the state to really make an impact together.
As a mayor of Norwalk, they're talking to John Beard about extending the moratorium on building homeless shelters. 5:21, time for a look at your money. Bloomberg's Joan Doniger.
Inflation has been falling, but the job market has started to soften. So the Federal Reserve took an expected step that was unexpectedly big to try to, according to Fed Chair Jay Powell, support a strong economy. Policymakers cut interest rates by a half rather than a quarter percent. Powell told reporters, though, don't expect rate cuts to be that big every time. After that, Wall Street rolled back its gains, all three averages falling a quarter to about a half percent. The Dow down 103, the NASDAQ 55, the S&P 16. So while that could help people with credit card debt face slightly lower interest rates, mortgage rates had already started to fall in anticipation. Barron says the chief economist of the National Association of Realtors expects mortgage rates to fall to 5.9 or 6%. That's only a modest drop from current levels. And the FAA is investigating cabin pressure problems on a Delta Airlines flight last weekend. It left some passengers with bleeding eardrums and noses. I'm Bloomberg's Joan Doniger, KNX News 97.1 FM.
That's your nonstop news at 5 for Wednesday, September 18th, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review.